This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. In his new book, basketball star LeBron James describes a game that he and his friends played for the youth championship the summer before they started high school. To this day, despite all the wonderful things that have since come my way, despite being a member of the U.S. Olympic team in 2004 and the one in 2008 that won the gold medal, and going to the NBA Finals in 2007 with the Cleveland Cavaliers and leading them into the playoffs the last 2 years, I am still haunted by what I did. We get possession, down by two, and now there are only 4 seconds left, and I know it's up to me, because either we are going to go down with me shooting, or win with me shooting. From my vantage point, everything goes into that sensory flow of slow motion, and the ball hits the rim and goes in. Win the game. Win an AAU championship. Put Akron on the map. Fulfill not just my goal, but the goal of my brothers, little Drew and Sean and Willie, until it pops out. Shooting Stars is the story of LeBron James and the friends he calls his brothers, and it's the story of the man who coached them in that game and later in high school, little Drew's dad, Drew Joyce. It's a book about growing up poor in a small city in Ohio, about celebrity and hype, about friendship and loyalty and betrayal. If you'd like to talk with LeBron James and Coach Joyce, our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Later in the program, one of the kings of Latin comedy, stand-up Joey Medina, stops by. But first, Coach Joyce joins us from member station WKSU in Akron. And nice to have you on the program today.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
And LeBron James is with us from our bureau in New York. His book, written with Buzz Bissinger, is called Shooting Stars. And it's nice to have you on Talk of the Nation as well.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And why is it that reading the book, the long chapters are all about the games you lost?
You know, I hated to even think about those moments, even though those games, you know, I think it only made us better. I think you have to, in order to be successful, you have to go through, you know, trials and tribulations throughout basketball, throughout life to become better, you know, and I think that's why we, you know, I dedicated one chapter to the point of us losing big games that we thought we could have a chance to win, but ultimately it made us better.
Made you better because it taught you that you weren't quite as good as you thought you were.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it basically put us back in our position, you know, but it helped us, you know, mentally just, you know, refocus, you know, and every time we lost, we may have been just a little bit, you know, I don't know what to say, arrogant, but not as focused as we knew we could have been. So, you know, when we lost the game that we thought we should have won, at the time, you know, we refocused ourselves when we was ready the next time.
Drew Joyce, let me ask you, obviously part of this book is the story of your relationship with your son, and I must say it's an unflinching look at that relationship. There is also the story of you as a coach, somebody who did not start as a basketball coach, who learned it as he went along, as you were coaching these kids in games like that AAU championship game that we're talking about.
Yes, you know, I grew up southeastern Ohio playing football, and that's was my love and what I wanted to do. And I tried to make my son a football player, and when he wasn't having that, you know, he used to follow me to, I used to bring him to some pickup basketball games I used to play, and I saw he had a love for it. And just like any father, I just wanted to be involved with my son, and it led to all of this.
And when did your son meet LeBron James?
I think the first time, you know, they were adversaries for the first few times they saw each other, first in football. Drew did play 1 year of football, and, you know, LeBron's team dismantled his. And then the next year they faced each other in a recreation basketball league in Akron, and they were on two opposing teams, and you know, those games were very highly contested games. And once we put the teams together, that's when they became friends. But at first it was an adversarial kind of relationship.
And LeBron James, tell us a little bit about that. You call him Little Drew, the General.
Absolutely. He was, the captain of our ship. He kept everything going. You know, we was kind of like the soldiers, and you know, Drew was one of those guys that was just tough as nails, as I, you know, kind of explained it. And even playing against him at an early age and then playing alongside of him for the rest of my career, I definitely knew that he was the guy that was going to keep the motor going for all of us.
And a lot of the beginning of the book is, as you call it, assembling the pieces. You need five players to be a basketball team. Actually, you need more than that, but five at one time. And you keep describing the different characters who join this, well, not just this the sports team, but become, well, this friendship that just seems so powerful in your life.
Well, absolutely. And you know, I didn't have that growing up. You know, being a single child in a single parent household, I didn't have, you know, brothers or anybody that I can kind of confide to in a time of need. And, you know, someone I could talk to besides my mother. Of course, I can always talk to her, but sometimes you want that same age bracket to talk to. You kind of relate to them sometimes a little bit better. So, you know, when I found that in Shion and Drew, first off, and then, you know, when Willie joined the team and then Romeo later on down the line, I was like, wow, this is a group that I know I can, you know, be trustworthy to.
First called the Fab Four, then the Fab Four Plus One, and finally the Fab Five when things were finally worked out between you guys and Romeo.
Right, yeah. Right.
Drew Joyce, I wanted to ask you, I had not understood this at all, but there was a lot of tension in the city of Akron when first your son and then his friends decided not to go to the big public high school, but to attend instead St. V's, St. Vincent St. Mary's, a Catholic school.
Yes, you know, in fact, we lived probably five blocks from Buchtel High School at that time. And, you know, Buchtel High School had a great reputation. They had had a lot of success and had a very good high school coach. And honestly, I was on the bench. I was an assistant coach at the time. And
of people thought you were put on the bench as an assistant coach because your son and his friends would then go to that high school.
I there's no qualms about it. I was there to deliver the players. I recognized that, you know, what I was there for, and you know, I wanted to learn more. I thought Harvey Sims was a good teacher, and I could learn some things from him. But you know, it just came down to a situation where Drew didn't feel comfortable. He didn't feel like he was going to get a chance, and decided he was going to do something else. And as a father, I had to respect you know, what he was saying.
No, I understand that part, but a lot of people will be surprised to read that the African-American community in Akron, or at least much of it, regarded you as a traitor.
Well, you know, you have to understand, the young men, you know, had built a pretty solid reputation from sixth grade, actually fifth grade, all the way through eighth grade now, and they were, you know, well-known around the city of Akron. So when you have that kind of local celebrity, everyone just assumes that it was going to go a certain way. And when it didn't happen that way, there was some bitterness, and there were some things that were said that, you know, kind of took us by surprise at the level of the bitterness. But I'm not, you know, originally from Akron. I moved to Akron in 1984, so I didn't understand totally the St. V. Public school, Catholic school thing that had been going on for years in the city of Akron.
LeBron James, did you experience some of that that feeling that why are you going to the wrong school?
Well, absolutely, because I mean, you got to look at it. It's during this period of time. It's the summertime in between, you know, graduating eighth grade middle school to now, you know, going into the ninth grade in the high school. So, you know, during the summertime, we're still playing basketball in the black community. We're still playing against these kids that's going to Buchtel, that's going to other Akron public schools. So, you know, and we're still in an AAU tournament. So we see all the coaches, we see all the fans that's going to support Buchtel and all these other schools. And, you know, at this point, I don't know if they really know that we're not going, but, you know, we've kind of already decided that we're not going to Buchtel. So, you know, we heard a lot of the blunt, you know, we going to barbershops, you know, we going to the mall, and we, you know, going to football games and things like that. So we heard a lot of it.
We're talking with LeBron James about his new book, Shooting Stars, and also with us is his coach in his AAU days as a youth basketball player, later also in high school, Drew Joyce. 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. Let's talk with Chip on the line with us from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call. Mr. James, you've obviously got a skill set that makes you incredibly successful at this. Do you think that the focus in junior high and high school on sports tends to make kids forget about the academic pursuits as much? In Tulsa, where I live, there's a football rivalry between two school systems, Union and Jinx, and this has actually turned into a nationwide phenomenon. And they are recruiting kids from, like, elementary school for these programs, and I just can't help but think that that's going to affect, you know, their academics and the other stuff if they're focusing so hard on just that one narrow sport or that one narrow talent or whatever. Do you think that it should be a more rounded program or a less emphasis put on the sports and more on the academics or whatever? And I'll just take my answer off the air.
All right, thanks, Chip.
Well, I think you know. Kids should definitely understand that education is important. I think when you're really, really young, you know, you're 7, you're 8, you're 9, you're 10 years old, it's really hard to get a good grasp of what education means. So I think as you continue to grow, you should start get a little bit better. I think what can really help is the role models that they look up to and their parents. They should really focus on them staying down on their schoolwork, you know, because kids love sports. I mean, and when we're focused on playing sports, but that's one thing that we just always think about. And if our parents aren't on us and our you know, our guardians or our role models are not keeping up on us about our schoolwork, then it can easily be forgotten about because we love sports so much. It's just the competitive nature of kids. So I really think parents and role models and guardians or whoever that's laying down that household or whoever, you know, the people that's given those words should always mention schoolwork. It's important.
We're talking with LeBron James now of the Cleveland Cavaliers, though once among the stars of the St. V. Irish in Akron, Ohio. We're also talking with his high school coach, Drew Joyce. If you'd like to talk with him, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. It's just over a month until the NBA regular season gets underway. LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers tip off against Boston on October 27th and hope to make another playoff run. This, though, is not going to focus on pro basketball. All right, we'll ask him about Shaquille O'Neal, and we'll ask him whether he's going to stay in Cleveland. But we're going to focus on his new book called Shooting Stars, which is about friendship and loyalty, the professionalization of high school sports, and his hometown, Akron, Ohio. And also with us is Coach Drew Joyce, who was instrumental in teaching LeBron James about basketball and about life. 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. And LeBron James, just following up on that last phone call, you do write in the book about, well, you weren't aware of it all the time, at the time, but going to tournaments in places, Lewis, Delaware was in fact the place where you were writing about, and all of the shoe companies and things like that that were professionalizing the high school game. I wonder, with a little perspective on it now, what you think about that?
Well, I think it can get out of control sometimes. I think you know, no kid at a certain age should have the stardom that I had and we had, you know, at that age. I mean, you honestly don't know, you know, how to – there's no way you can get coached for that, you know. And, you know, a lot of kids can get drawn into stardom and you know, and say they wish they could, you know, have this type of stardom. But when they get it, they don't know how to react to it. It can hurt a lot of people's careers, you know, especially as kids, mm-hmm. Because it's too much pressure, I believe. But the one thing that I'm blessed and I'm humbled about that I have friends around me, and I had a mentor and Coach Drew who, you know, it didn't matter if I was on the cover of Sports Illustrated or it didn't matter, or in a yearbook, you know, they was going to talk about me no matter what. You know, those friends, my friends kept me humbled. So, you know, I was blessed.
Coach Joyce, let me ask you, exactly that happened. At 17 years old, when he's a junior in high school, LeBron James is on the cover of Sports Illustrated magazine as titled The Chosen One, said if he came out in the NBA draft right now, he'd be the number one choice. And you are just about to coach him and his friends, including his son. In your very first year as a high school coach, you must have thought to yourself, what have I gotten myself into?
You know, as I said, there was times I wanted to go out into my backyard and just scream. But, you know, there was no one to go to. There was no one to ask. We were at the cutting edge of this ESPN internet generation so it was uncharted territory. But one thing that, you know, what I tried to do and with those who were around me is circle the wagon, so to speak, and that, you know, have the kids focus on when they're in basketball. We close practices. We try to make it so that they could focus during the school day. We wouldn't let anyone into the school building. We tried to keep LeBron's life and the lives of the other players as normal as you could possibly try to keep it under the circumstances. Did we do everything right? Probably not. But, you know, I think that, we created a situation that in a lot of respects helped them grow into becoming into the young men that they're growing in today.
Well, let's get some more callers on the line. And let's go where else? Cleveland, Ray is on the line.
Hey, good to talk to LeBron and Coach Joyce. I have great respect for the work you do. I'm involved in high school basketball in the area. Coach, I saw LeBron's team win two state championships. I saw him lose one, too, to that Cincinnati team. But I've really been impressed by the continued growth in LeBron, and I saw Coach Joyce's team this summer. They're going to be awesome again. But here's my question for LeBron. You're such a role model. Your growth and development and maturity have been awesome. And I have a 17-year-old son, and I can't think. But, LeBron, one important thing that you could really do that would affect society, and this is a lot to ask of you, but I really respect your commitment to family, your commitment to your children, your relationship with the mother of your children. And I know it's a tough thing and it's a personal thing, but do you know how powerful it would be if you personally made a commitment to marriage?
Whoa. All right.
Well, you know, what's funny about that, me and Coach Drew had a long conversation about that about a week ago. And, you know, Coach Drew, you know, is someone I always go to in advice. You know, and I asked him about that. And, you know, I think we came to the conclusion that basically we're going to have to, you know, you make that decision when you think you're ready for it. You know, you don't want to jump into the situation because other people may want you to get married or, you know, maybe one of the parties may want to be married at the time. You know, when you both feel like you guys are ready, and right now I feel like I'm still young. I'm still don't really know everything. But, you know, when I feel like I'm ready and I think Savannah's ready, we're you know, it's a possibility we can make that decision. Great question, by the way.
Well, that's well said, young man. God bless you and Coach Joyce and the advice and the leadership you show.
No problem.
Ray, thanks very much for the call. Here's an email from Josh in San Antonio. Thanks so much, Mr. James, for being an excellent role model. Last week when President Obama addressed the nation's students, he said they should not focus on being rappers or professional athletes such as yourself. What do you say in response to that?
I agree. Because it's some you can miss out on other opportunities, you know, trying to become, you know, famous too fast or trying to become, you know, have that stardom. And, you know, he's not saying that, you know, it's not a possibility of you becoming a professional athlete or a pop singer or a rock star or a rap artist, you know. He's basically saying, you know, take advantage of school. Take advantage of the opportunities that's laid in front of you. And if you do have other talents off that, then take advantage of it also. So I agree with him.
Let's go next to Casey. Casey with us from Sacramento.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. Hey, LeBron, I'm not going to try to get you married. I have a question. Hey, listen, I was walking through the park last night, and I saw some pickup games. And so assuming that the vast majority of basketball players in this country are just recreational pickup players, how do you see the effect of NBA celebrity on the style of pickup basketball games? I mean, I didn't even recognize it. You had guys yelling, I'm Barkley, and I didn't see one pass. So I'm wondering, how do you think the culture of your stardom affects the games on the street? I mean, you're like the Big O. You got the total package, and I bet you might pass it. But just curious what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I can tell you one person that doesn't enjoy it, and that's Coach Drew. He, you know, not seeing the ball being passed around. You know, that's just not the right way to play the game of basketball. It doesn't matter if it's a pickup game or, you know, it's an NBA game or a high school game or whatever. But I think pickup basketball is really important for kids. For one, it made me and my friends really tough, you know, playing outdoor pickup basketball, because it's times where, you know, you go out to these courts and, you know, if you don't win and if you don't compete, it's a possibility that you might not get back on that court for probably about another 25 to 30 minutes. So, you know, it definitely helped us become better basketball players when we got into the real of things. But you have to pass the – please, guys, ladies, pass the ball, please.
Coming from a point guard of 30 years, I really appreciate that advice to all the youngsters. So.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Casey, thanks very much. Let's go next to – this is Joe, and Joe's calling from Boise.
Well, it's a great pleasure to talk to both Coach and LeBron James. I came from a team that in seventh grade or junior high, we lost two games in 3 years. In our senior year, we were top-ranked team that lost in our district first game. So we had to enter the bracket from the backside. And it was the adversity that I wanted to, that was so interesting in the early part of this show, the dealing with adversity when you're supposed to win a game and you don't, and then
right.
how do you comprehend that game and then make use out of the mistakes in it? And anyway, Coach, I guess I'm directing that more towards you. How did you deal with those games that went the wrong way and then come back and persevere? And also, my question for LeBron James is, LeBron, you look like you enjoy playing D, and I was a defensive specialist. I rode the Pines, but I could play tall, even though I was only 6'1".
Well, if you read this book, Joe, you may find that a little bit amusing, because it took a while for LeBron to appreciate the finer points of defense, as I think Coach Joyce might point out here.
Yeah, answering your first question as far as how do you bounce back. You know, I think one thing that as a coach that, you know, I've grown to and I've learned is that, you know, losing is part of it. You know, you're going to lose some games, and, you know, you don't want to lose them, but you're going to lose some. And, you know, I just try to, you know, do this. When we lose a game, you know, I'm looking for a couple positive things to bring out of it. And then we're going to move on. You know, the past is the past. And I think that one thing that I talk to my guys all about, even in the midst of a game, after a game, you need to stay in the present moment. You can't change the past. The future's not promised. Stay in the present moment and work with that moment. And I just think it does wonders for kids when they understand and they know that you're not going to beat them up about a misplay or a mispass or a bad shot, that, you know, something LeBron, and he'll respond to. We had a, you know, and they used to tell this to me in the huddles. We used to have a saying, when someone was stuck on a bad play, we'd say next play. Yeah. And that was the idea, was to move, let's move on. And I think that's what you got to do. You of course you want to correct mistakes, but you got to move on and stay in the present moment.
And to go on and answer the second question, I think I just really, you know, I came to find out that the game of basketball is one on both ends. I think it's all about pride. Defense is all about pride. You know, you standing across from this guy, and I basically go into a game and saying, I don't believe you can score on me. Now, it's going to happen. Just like Coach Drew said, losses happen and you're going to lose games, but – you know, I just really believe that the guy in front of me is not going to score on me. And, you know, and it's not just individual defense, but at the same time, I feel like I'm always trying to help my teammates become better, because offense is easy. Offense becomes easy when you play the defense at a high level. And I found a new love for the game for the game when I decided I was going to be, you know, not just an MVP on the offensive end, but on the defensive end also.
LeBron James, I have to say, for you, offense is easy. There's a lot of us. There's no shot too short that we can't miss.
For sure.
We're talking with LeBron James. He's the author of Shooting Stars with Buzz Bissinger. He's, of course, the author of Friday Night Lights and other books. It's called Shooting Stars. Also with us is Drew Joyce, who was LeBron James' coach in youth basketball and later as the coach of the St. V. Irish in high school. And they went on to win a state championship, one of three that LeBron James and the young men he calls his brothers went on to win at that school. You're listening to Talk of the Nation, coming to you from NPR News. And this next year, if we talk about the present day, LeBron James is going to be a challenge. I wonder if you have talked with Coach Joyce about the new center on your team.
No, we haven't. We haven't, but I think we both got the same thoughts in mind. I think it's going to be great. You know, I'm looking forward to Shaq getting down there to Cleveland. You know, he's been in Orlando, he's been in Los Angeles, he's been in Miami, and he's been in Phoenix. So I don't think he owns a big winter jacket, if I'm looking at those four teams that he's been in. So he better make sure he has his good winter fur, and because it gets cold in Cleveland.
He's also Coach.
Yeah, if I could say something, you know, and Bron understands, hey, I'm a fan now, and I enjoy being a fan. I'm not crossing that line. I go to the games. There's no pressure on me. I'm enjoying being a fan, and I'm looking forward to some great basketball.
Well, of course, we're mentioning Shaquille O'Neal, one of the greatest players in NBA history. Toward the twilight of his career, is going to be a teammate with LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers next year. And, of course, many basketball fans in our audience also know that at the end of this season, LeBron James' contract runs out, and he is eligible to become a free agent. And in that context, Daniel in Lansing, New York, emails to say, "Born and raised in Cleveland, I am an 80-year-old man who was never any good at basketball. But because of you, I have become a fan. I love to watch you and the Cavs play. Please continue to play with the Cavaliers. You've helped give the people of Northeastern Ohio a new sense of pride. They need you. I need you to play for the Cleveland Cavaliers." Can you tell us anything about your plans following the season?
Wow. First of all, thank you. That was awesome to know that you have you know, people like that that really respect the way you play the game of basketball and the way you approach the game of basketball. I think this is it's going to be a tough decision, honestly, for myself after the end of this year. And but I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to hopefully continuing my career in Cleveland or moving on. But I'm really looking forward to this season upcoming. I think I think if everything goes right, you know, I've always been happy, you know, been in Cleveland. I've never given any indication that I'm going to leave. So we'll see what happens. I am a free agent, and, you know, I have the right to go anywhere I want to. But, you know, my first loyal is to Cleveland.
Let's get one last caller in. This is Brad. Brad with us from Medina in Ohio.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call. LeBron, my son graduated from St. Pete. In fact, he's a year behind you. You used to call him the drawing man. He's designed a lot of the tattoos for the guys on the basketball squad, the Korean boy. I don't know if you remember him. But in any event, my question is, I see a lot of you about town with some of your friends from the basketball team. And I wonder if you address that in your book of how they help ground you even still today. I'll take my answer off the line. Thank you.
All right, Brad, thank you.
Well, absolutely. My friends, man, part of the reason why who I am today, still to today, you know, and like I said before, they never let me get big-headed, even if I wanted to. I never wanted to, but even if I tried to, they would always keep me grounded, you know, and it's just a friendship that we had. We never felt like we were bigger than anybody else. I think Coach Drew gave us the right path, and, you know, we followed the code. And like you said, still to this day, these guys are with me. You know, we don't see each other as much as we used to, of course, because we're not in the same school, we're not playing on the same team, but we see each other a lot during the summer, and it's like, you know, it's always great seeing those guys.
LeBron James and Buzz Bissinger write about LeBron James and the man he calls his brother in a book called Shooting Stars. And LeBron James was with us today from our bureau in New York. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
And Drew Joyce was the high school basketball coach of LeBron James in Akron, Ohio. Earlier, their coach at AAU, and he was with us today from member station WKSU in Akron. Coach, good luck with your team next year, and thank you for your time today, too.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed myself.